2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by those good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not joined up with us yet, make sure you do so. Use the promo code OPENINGDAY. Hey, folks, it only lasts for a couple more days. Promo code OPENINGDAY gives you 7 free days to check out everything that the DFS Army has to offer. What a better time than now to get started. You get the Domination Station, which is going to start up for the NBA playoffs. That Domination Station, my God, it's just a money printer, my friends. Make sure you get in on that. You get all the behind-the-scenes stuff that we have for MLB going on. Me, Keith, Bernsey, Chapadon, we all got some great stuff going
David.
On. David as well, but his is a free article, so that's why I left him on the outside of that one. But he's still a fantastic writer that we home in our DFS Army. Anywho, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code Opening Day. Get yourself 7 free days. You're gonna love it after the first day, but hey, why not get 6 free days afterwards? Right? Use that promo code. You're gonna love it. I'm your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.Walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall. You can find him at Boobers DFS Daddy. I hate when I call you a co-host because you're more of a co-me, or, you know, we're both crushing this shit. So using the co-host designation doesn't do justice to this man, Keith. But we got 6 games on today's, I guess, main slate, if we're going to call it that. And a very interesting early day slate. I got my notes out there. If you're a member of the DFS Army, make sure you check those out. But if you are a member, you're not even going to see these notes, because by the time this podcast is done recording, it'll be too late, and the early slate will have already started. So
yeah, considering it starts in 10 minutes.
What a sales job by me.
Hey, here's what you do. You go back, you read the notes, and you check for accuracy.
That is very true. But with me, I don't necessarily do calls. I do facts. That's what I like to do with, you know, it's more or less things that have happened already and things to look out for. So
holy God.
You will see that.
I just saw somebody's price on DK today.
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it, I'm sure, in a little bit.
Sorry, that was not supposed to be as blatantly obvious as it was.
So I didn't get a chance to do the podcast yesterday. Chop Dong filled in for me yesterday. I heard rave reviews about his performance. But I must say, I do not envy you folks in the manual labor business. So yesterday I was gutting a home with my uncle by marriage, not by blood. But I was gutting a home with him and his company yesterday. I got to tell you, my friend, I do not enjoy sawdust in my contact lenses. I do not enjoy picking up heavy things. One of the reasons I don't lift weights is because they're too heavy. I don't like what was going on in that scenario. So, if you don't mind, I'll just be the writer and the podcaster, you know, for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to get that out there. I mean, thoroughly disenjoyed my day yesterday.
I'm not gonna argue with you. I mean, I don't do a lot of physical labor, but I do work out. I do try to stay active. I still play baseball. You know, I still do.
I run pickup games at the Y. That'll do.
Okay, that's not active in my opinion, but.
Oh, full court basketball, not active in your opinion. Okay.
Oh,
I'm
it's
sorry.
Full court? Okay. Yeah. That's a little bit different.
I'm not running 3-on-3 half court. Come on. I am not Charles Oakley, my friend. Okay.
So I say that's a little bit different then. So, because you actually do have to do some running. So,
oh, God, I love running. Well, But there has to be a ball involved. I cannot do, like, I can't go jogging, right? So if somebody wants to go out and jog for like 3-4 miles, more power to you. And it's fucked up because I have a lot of patience. But if there's not a ball involved, I can't do it.
An end game.
Yeah. I'm not just going to – what? You want me to run to get back to the same point that I started at? No, thanks. No, not going to happen, my friends.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, you know, I stay active. I try to as much as possible. It's not hard with a munchkin that's learning how to walk. But it's not easy either when it comes to you considering the fact that you do kind of sit at a desk for 8 to 10 hours all day. Uh-huh. And then, you know, you also sit at the desk a little bit longer at night.
Well, if you're like me and you got the ingenious lap desk invention that they've got out there on the market, you know, you kind of – not even a desk. You're actually sitting on a couch for all that time.
That would require you working from a laptop. And don't get me wrong.
I have noticed the bulge in my gut. Just, and I'm not talking about the one in my pants. The one in my gut has exceeded, you know, far beyond – anything I thought that it possibly could. So I don't know. Maybe I need more pickup games at the Y. Maybe I need something else. But I got to tell you, though, those brothers, they're very happy with the assist that I'm dishing out. So I will say that.
But the lap desk would require you being working off of a laptop, and I do not.
All right. Well, I got the laptop. We're talking about me right now, not you. Not you.
As always, let's get to these six games and get everything out because we got a fun day of baseball.
Yes. So we before we hit the record button on the shindig, we talked a little about the early slate. I started making a line. I had a very hectic morning. The plumber here this morning. I started making a lineup. I decided it was in my best interest to hold on to my money rather than blindly toss it away. You, on the other hand, you said, you know what? Fuck this shit. Let's make a memory.
Yep. I actually put a little bit more. Normally I'm making lineups as we're doing the pod, whether it be me being distracted and not being able to put full thought into it, which is generally when I do my worst, or whatever the reason, being baseball variants or whatever, I've been slaughtered in the day slate so far. And normally those are some of my better ones. So I put some thought into this one. We didn't start the pod until after my lineup was finalized. So now if it bombs, then we can just come to the conclusion that I suck ass.
Oh, yes. Any time that we could do that, I am all for it. Hey, by the way, we finally have our NBA matchup set. So we're not going to discuss those on today's pod, but possibly I'm just bringing this on right now. Possibly an NBA first-round playoff preview podcast?
Yes, possibly.
Okay, possibly. We're throwing that out there. We will tease the folks. All right, let's get to this MLB slate. We've got a very good one. I got plenty of good notes for this one. I was up late, so let's talk about it. First game tonight, we got the Tampa Bay Rays at the New York Yankees. Both righties going in this one. Matt Andrees for the Rays. Luis Severino going for the Yankees in this one. Let's talk about Matt Andrees first. He got roughed up in his season debut. That was against the Toronto Blue Jays. Managed to come away with a no decision despite having a horrendous stat line. He's actually got very terrible numbers against the Yankees coming into this one. 1-2 at a 6.05 ERA in his last five appearances. That entails 19 and a third of an inning, 1.55 whip, 13 earned runs in those 19 and a third, 3.46 opposing batting average have the Yankees done to Matt Andrees over these last couple appearances. If we want to talk about Luis Severino, he came away with a no decision in his 2017 debut, threw 89 pitches at Baltimore, had a decent start, ran into a little bit of trouble. I got a little bit of interest in Severino today, and it has nothing to do with Severino. It's got everything to do with his backstop, Austin Romine. So we all know that Gary Sanchez went down with the tricep injury. He's on the 10-day DL. Austin Romine, he is a very, very intellectual catcher that the Yankees have here. His first start that he had there after Sanchez went down with the injury, the Yankees broadcasters talked about it at length. But, you know, this is something I know from being in the New York market. I know that Romine's a pretty good catcher. But, look, we saw what he did with Miguel Pineda there on – what was that, on Monday. We had Montgomery have a pretty good start yesterday. So we have a little bit of a track record. I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to give Severino maybe like a 7 to 10 point boost in this one. Not sure it's going to be enough to roster him tonight, but he's certainly interesting for GPPs.
Okay.
See, I know when you're going to disagree with me, because I know you always do this. You go, okay.
It's not that I don't agree with you. It's just that I don't see it.
Okay.
Look, we know what this Rays offense can do against left-handed or right-handed pitching. I'm more leaning towards Rays bats. Corey Dickerson. Hold on, I'm trying to find the lineup here. There it is. Corey Dickerson, you know, Evan Longoria, Bradley Miller, Logan Morrison. I want a lot of exposure to these power bats from the left-handed side. With that short porch out there. So that's kind of where I'm kind of looking right now currently.
All right, fair enough. If we're looking in terms of Rays BVP up against Severino, you got Steven Sazza, 3-for-6, got a double. Evan Longoria, 2-for-11, but a double and a homer. And then you got some bad numbers here that you got to look at. Kevin Kiermaier, 1-for-9, 4 strikeouts. Brad Miller, 0-for-4, 4 strikeouts. Those are interesting numbers to look at. The one thing that I did not mention with the Severino breakdown, sure, you know, you can get a little bit of a boost here with Romine calling the game for him, but I do not expect this guy to go more than, let's say, 5 innings. I expect, you know, Severino, number one, he's typically not – he doesn't really go deep into games that often. And, you know, he spent a lot of time in the bullpen last season. That's kind of how he resurrected his career with the Yankees last season. He did a lot of long stints out of the bullpen in relief. But you're probably going to see a lot of probably 4 innings of the Yankees bullpen. That's something that I'm not interested in. But, hey, if you want at it, go for it, my friend.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, well, you got to understand here. There's two different types of bullpens within each team. You know, you've got the plus side and you've got the minus side. If I'm going to get the minus side of the Yankees bullpen, then fine, great, fantastic. But I'm not going to see Dylan Betances and Aroldis Chapman if the Rays are up by 3 runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
Here's the other thing too. The Yankees, they've kind of had a weird schedule here. So they played the home opener on Monday, had the day off on Tuesday, had a day game yesterday. Gives, you know, I don't know how much of a relief it is, but their relievers get, you know, a couple extra hours of rest, if you will. So, you know, if that plays any part into it, let it be.
Yeah,
as the Beatles once sang, let it be.
Let's see here. Let's do a little bullpen report for the Yankees here. I got to find them first. There they are. Let's see here. Chapman threw 9 pitches yesterday. Tommy Lane threw 21. Jonathan Holder.
By the way,
Holder.
Chapman threw 9 pitches yesterday, but 1 million in October last season.
Yeah, he was pissed
that
about
is,
how he was
that
used.
Is
docu- yeah,
that
he
is
got
documented 1 million. He literally threw 1 million pitches last year.
No kidding. You get a World Series ring and you're pissed about how you were used? Screw you. Go back to Cuba.
It makes sense, though.
It doesn't make sense. Won a World Championship.
I mean, they ran him like a ragged dog.
Because he was the best option.
Sure. Tell that to Rajay Davis.
Oh man. Okay, so yeah, let's look at this here. Betances hasn't thrown in 3 or 4 days. Tyler Clippard threw 15 yesterday. Holder threw 11. Lane threw 21. Brian Mitchell threw 14. It was, I mean, their young bullpen pitched, or their young pitcher actually threw really, really well. Now he got up to, I think it was 90 pitches and, 4 2/3. But a lot of that wasn't his fault. Like, Ricky Weeks got him early, but the Rays could not, like, swing and hit, or they couldn't put the ball in play. They were swinging and missing a lot, which is why he had the strikeouts pile up. So that wasn't like it was his fault of not being efficient. It's just, that's kind of the way it worked. I don't know, maybe. So you probably have Holder who's going to be available. Mitchell, Adam Warren. I mean, these are guys that I'm not worried about. And these are all righties. The only lefty that they have besides Chapman is Tommy Lane. So really in a neutral to negative effect as far as the Yankees bullpen, I've got to worry about one lefty. Okay, well, if whoever the Rays manager is splits up the lefties, then, depending on what happens, I won't have to worry about it that much.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's not terrible. Let's talk about these Yankees bats here, because we do have some interesting numbers here. Now, if we're looking at Andrés here, in 2015, 2016, right-handed batters have hit for a better average, but left-handers have hit for slightly more power. The numbers on the splits aren't really that big of a difference, but if you're looking at breaking it down to a fine powder, that is a way of looking at it. With righties, better average, but lefties, slightly more power. You got a couple decent BVP numbers here. Jacoby Ellsbury, 4 for 10 against Andrés, all singles. Brett Gardner, he's 4 for 6 with a double. Chase Headley is 3 for 9 against Andrés with 2 homers, but 4 strikeouts in that. And then Aaron Judge and Aaron Hicks both have good short-term numbers against Andrés. I think both sides of the plate can get to this guy, and especially in Yankee Stadium, this is a good place to be for these Yankees hitters. Again, we mentioned Andrés's numbers at the top of the podcast. Not very good against the Yankees. Got an ERA of just over 6 in 5 appearances against them, so might not be a decent stack here.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's one of those that it's a little boom or bust, and we're gonna have to see with the lineup that they roll out, because if we know what Joe Girardi's thinking, then our next choice is to try to figure out what Luke Walton and Mike Malone are thinking. Somebody was talking about Aaron Judge being moved up in the lineup, and I think that that would be a big mistake. He's
That was
still,
Chop-a-Dong, and I shared your same sentiments.
he's mashing right now. He's a kid. Don't touch him. Let him go out and do. So many managers, they're like, they tinker and tinker, and it's just like, guys, just stop. Just stop.
And I think Girardi will kind of stay with the same sentiments that both of us have. And Judge was one of the worst strikeout rates last season. Like, he was god awful at
And
making
it's not as
contact.
bad this year.
Well, which it's very early, and
Yeah, but
you got to keep in mind he's faced the Rays twice, in two series already. Facing Baltimore, not exactly the greatest pitching staff. So
Oh,
you
I
got to
agree.
take.
The sample size is way too small to say that he's actually improved. But I talked about this at nauseam last year with Trevor Story. People are like, "Oh, he strikes out all the time." Well, yeah, he does. He's a rookie, but he also gradually got better as the season went on. If you look at his strikeout rates, and you could probably see a similar trend with Aaron Judge. He's not Byron Buxton. He's the
I mean, who
anti-Byron
is,
Buxton.
right? Who's going up to the plate with a broomstick in Major League Game?
Byron Buxton. So, I mean, Yeah, just I hope they don't mess with him. He's a great one-off. I mean,
Yeah.
he's still too cheap in my opinion on FanDuel. He's only $2,500. He's got power to all fields, so it's not like we have to worry about the quote unquote power alleys in for Yankee Stadium. I mean, yeah, it does play better to left-handed pull bats, but I mean, are we really going to be picky when it comes to Aaron Judge? I mean, we've
I'm not gonna.
the only thing that I can say is gathering with it being a shorter slate. Let me ask you a question, okay?
Let me answer your question.
What do you think that his ownership is going to be? Now, given all of this into consideration, one, it's he's going against the Rays. Two, you've got only a 6-game slate. Three, he's hit home runs 3 days in a row.
Yeah. So I
On
don't know.
FanDuel at $2,500.
Yeah, 25%. If we're talking, let's just I don't know. Let's throw the $3 or the $6 or $7 GPP tournament as our test subject here. At 25-30%. I think that's pretty fair. People are going to be enamored with his power upside, especially Yankee Stadium against this Rays team. Never been mistaken for a good pitching staff or bullpen. That seems about fair. The only reason to really be off Judge tonight is just to get away from the crowd. Guy's obviously in a hot streak. You want to ride him as it goes along, but I think keep in mind going forward. As he sees better pitching staffs, better managers, better baseball minds, he's probably not going to get these juicy pitches that he's been seeing lately. But
So,
hey, get on board for one more night while it still lasts.
see, that was what I was going to ask because tomorrow the Yankees play the Cardinals and
Oh, he ain't getting one good pitch. Not
get
one.
Waka. Now it's still in Yankee Stadium, but you're getting a smarter team that, not saying the Rays are dumb, but you're getting a
No,
better
they're pretty
overall.
dumb.
You're getting a better overall team
You
coming
ever
into Yankee Stadium.
been in that arena or that arena, that stadium in St. Petersburg, Tropicana Field? It truly is arena baseball. You have to wonder what the baseball minds are thinking down there.
They've been trying to get it either relocate or get a new stadium.
I once rode an office chair. I actually have a photo of this. I will post it to the Slack chat channel later. I rode an office chair down the side of Tropicana Field one
Yep, I've heard that story many times, and it still amazes me every
time.
single time you say that.
I
And
have the
I
photo.
love it.
I have the photo, and I will finally post it. So we got that. All right, good bats to get to in that game. You got a lot of info in that one. Let us move along, though. We'll go to our friends at the North. Some like to call it America's hat. We call it Canada. It's the Baltimore Orioles at the Toronto Blue Jays. We got Kevin Gausman, the righty for the Orioles, and we got the southpaw Francisco Liriano for the Blue Jays in this one. All right, so Kevin Gausman, this is going to be his third start. The numbers have not been this great or have not been that great this season. If we're looking at his combined numbers, okay, now this is, keep in mind, this is in two starts against the Jays and the Yankees this season. He's only gone 10 innings, got a whip of 2 in this stretch, 6 earned runs in those 10 innings. The encouraging part is that he has gone 103, 97 pitches in each of those two starts. However, the Rogers Centre has just not been a place that has been friendly to Gausman. 0-2 with a 5.64 ERA in his last 5 appearances there. So in those last 5 appearances, he's only gone 22 and a third innings, got a WHIP 1.57, 14 earned runs in those 22 and a third innings, and the opposing batters are hitting for 314 against him. Well, if you thought that sucked, well, let me produce to you or introduce to you Francisco Liriano, a god-awful 2017 debut as he was the Uber chalk slash Sharpie of the Friday night slate. He made it all of a third of an inning on Friday at Tampa Bay. He gave up 3 hits, 4 walks, 5 earned runs, gave up a homer, and did have 1 strikeout. Congratulations. All of that came in 35 pitches. Now, I don't know about you, but giving up 3 hits and 4 walks and 35 pitches is certainly how I would want to get my 2017 started. If you thought that was bad, take a look at his numbers against the Orioles. They're goddamn terrible in 11 and a third innings. You can check out the note slate for this one. They're so bad. I don't even want to get into it. The one thing I will say for Francisco Liriano, the Orioles do struggle against left-handed pitching. We've seen Drew Pomeranz, Jay Happ, both have very good starts against them in recent history. So given how do I put this kindly? Given the
suckitude,
pile of shit that we've been given with these two starting pitchers, is there any glimmer of hope here?
Sure there is. It's Major League Baseball.
That is true.
This is where, you know, Marcus Stroman can go out and throw a freaking gem and allow 2 dumbass earned runs off of stupid plays and, you know, have one of the most quote-unquote fearful offenses in baseball in one of the best hitters' ballparks in baseball and not get a win.
Solid job in Vegas last night, too, by the way. Were it -230 on the money line?
Yeah. See, now you know why I don't pay as much attention to Vegas when it comes to baseball. Everybody's like, implied team totals and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
they have been so off early on this season.
They're always off. Early in the season, they're always off. And they overreact.
Unusually bad to start this season.
I think they're unusually bad when it comes to baseball anyways. Not saying that I have an advantage and I could beat them when it comes to betting baseball. Right. But I just don't think that they – like, this game is an 8.5 total, okay? The common man would think that, oh – Gossman, Liriano, Orioles, Blue Jays. It's going to go bananas, right? Guess what? It's Major League Baseball. And this year, you know, left is right and right is left so far.
Wow.
Like, I'm dead serious. Coors has not blown up. Right. Okay? The Rockies' offense sucks. The Blue Jays' offense sucks.
The Reds are 7-2.
The Reds are 7-2. The Mets have, you know, dominated the. Oh wait, that is right. Anyway,
our Mets heads are falling off.
You know, it's baseball, guys. The Rockies hit 3 home runs against Clayton Kershaw, and they're the only team to ever do it in Kershaw's career with there being a back-to-back jacks on him. I mean, right is left, left is right. Left is right. So what does that tell me? That tells me that, you know, if Liriano is going to be, what, 2% owned? If I'm making a lot of lineups tonight, sure, why not throw him in a couple? But I'm not going to be as gung-ho against the Blue Jays offense as everybody is. I do remember vividly targeting them last year early in the season when they were struggling. And I believe that we as the Army made quite a bit of money doing that as well. It might be, I think we did it with left-handed bats last year or left-handed pitching last year. I'll have to go back and look, but it might be time to do that again.
All right. I do enjoy the Liriano play here against the Orioles. And you got to think, too. I mean, hell, Liriano's had plenty of rest, right? He only threw 35 pitches in his first start. He only goes a third of an inning.
I'm going to put it out on a limb. He's not going to be that bad again tonight.
Whoa.
I'm going out there.
Career on this one. You're risking your career. Now, that was hysterical, though, but with Liriano being basically almost 50% in pretty much every contest that I saw him in. So,
nobody's going to him tonight.
Yeah, you'll probably
not see with him. Madison Bumgarner on the slate.
Yeah, under 10% is probably where we're going to see this guy. But here's the interesting thing, right? So we all know that the Orioles suck against left-handed pitching. It defies logic, gravity, all that kind of shit, because they have so many great right-handed power bats. But if we're looking at – if we want to talk about severe reverse splits in this one, the Blue Jays right-handed bats, actually not a bad idea tonight, because – we're taking a look at Kevin Gausman. I already brought up his terrible numbers at the Rogers Center last season. But right-handed batters against Gausman were significantly better in all angles, average, power, all that kind of shit. And Gausman had significantly bad road splits over the last three seasons. We're talking about 2014 to 2016 than he did at home. So what I'm talking about here, so – in the, over the last three seasons, right-handed bats, and this is in a similar number of at-bats here, 32 homers against right-handed at-bats, 280 average, 327 on base, 457 slugging, 784 OPS. The numbers, little, I shouldn't even be kind about it. A lot worse against left-handed bats, so keep that in mind. And then on the road over the last three seasons, he's 7-18 with a 4.54 ERA. We're talking about 212 innings pitched here, 107 earned runs, 31 homers allowed in that span, an opposing batting average of .276 as well. We do have some BVP numbers. Darwin Barney, Josh Donaldson, Russell Martin all have some pretty good numbers. By the way, let's give it up. Round of applause. Russell Martin, first base hit last night.
Yes, yes. Austin Hedges as well. Austin Hedges actually was 0-for longer than Russell Martin.
I suggested that perhaps Russell Martin bat with a light pole going up to the plate. Maybe he can make some contact with the ball. But
well, he's Canadian. He should have just taken a hockey stick up there.
Is he Canadian?
Yes, he is.
Okay. I did not know that. So now I dislike him even more. Anywho. You do have some bad BVP here. Jose Bautista, 1-for-15 against Kevin Gausman. He does have a homer with that one hit, but also four strikeouts.
But BVP doesn't matter. BVP doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
you hate the sarcasm?
No, I got it. I got it. But as you would say, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right back at you. But yeah, anyway, right-handed bats against Gausman. I think a lot of people, you know, will blindly kind of go with the platoon advantage, going with left-handers against right-handers. We have a couple of instances on this main slate today where that is not the case. I'm going to get to a lot of those later on in the podcast, but right-handers against Gausman today, I'm going to say that. That's a fairly good bet, judging by the stats.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bet. As we kind of talked about it a little bit this morning with some of the guys that were going on, the day slate, the problem with doing that is it's not really a problem. Okay. That's the wrong word. The correct issue. The issue with just going blindly off of a pitcher's reverse splits is you've got to have a hitter that can take advantage of it as well. Now you've got guys like Josh Donaldson who can, but when you've got guys like, and you've got guys like Troy Tulowitzki that can, but when you've got guys like Russell Martin, guys like, let's see here, Kevin Pillar, Justin Smoke, guys like that, they don't really, well, Justin Smoke, yes, but, you know, guys like Russell Martin, Kevin Pillar, Devin Travis, Ezekiel Carrera, Zeke's a lefty, but those guys, they can't really take advantage of it. Now, does that mean that they can't hit Gausman? No. But they're not the reverse splits type of guys that we want to target. Those guys are guys like Jose Bautista, Josh Donaldson, you know, minus the BVP, obviously. Justin Smoke, Troy Tulowitzki. If I'm going with a four-man stack for the Blue Jays, I'm loading up with those four guys.
All right.
And I know I'm probably not going to play Bautista just because he looks like absolute complete horse crap right now.
Dog shit.
I was trying to be, you know, G-rated. But Donaldson, Morales, Tulowitzki, and Smoke, that's a great stack right there. If you are wanting to go there. Now, with Gossman, everybody's going to know these numbers that we spit off is about home road splits and everything like that. Trust me, everybody looks to try to get an advantage in MLB DFS. That's why I think being contrarian actually holds a lot of, or gives, you know, gives us a little bit of an edge as far as me and you, because of those options.
We know shit.
You know, and not only being contrarian, but also knowing baseball. You know, knowing baseball is a huge, huge advantage. And the fact that we watch a lot of these games, I know you've kind of, you know, Netflixed and chilled the last couple nights, but
that'll happen when the Mets are playing the Phillies and winning
and hitting seven dongs. We just worked Netflix and chilled and dongs into the same area. So anyways, but yeah, let's talk about some Orioles here, because, you know, we know what the Blue Jays are. They are who we think they are, and right now they're not very good. But that's what we thought about the Orioles until they met Steven Wright. Wow. Look, we talked about it on the show yesterday, me and Chop did. The way the wind blows allows the knuckleball to either be good or bad. Well, last night with the wind blowing, the knuckleball was not good at all. Steven Wright had a couple good starts against the Orioles, and he kind of dominated them a little bit. And what happens? Trey Mancini comes out and hits a home run in the first. I think it was.
Go get him, Tiger.
Yeah, no kidding. So the Oriole bats are alive and awake. I think they're going to be over-owned tonight. That's one of the reasons why I like the Francisco Liriano play as well. However, I do like Adam Jones, who's got some pretty good BVP numbers, even though the DFSA grade is not great. Adam Jones. He has tagged him for three bombs in 22 plate appearances. You know, Mark Trumbo is only 4-for-21 against them. There is some good and bad BVP here for the Baltimore Orioles. Wellington Castillo is one of the higher catchers of the day. He's 6-for-19 with two bombs off of him as well. So, you know, you've got some history, but I think a sneaky play is going to be Chris Davis with a C. He's still got a 195 ISO versus left-handed pitching with a 335 WOBA. That's last year's stats, 2015 stats, and this year's stats all running together total.
Did have pretty decent numbers against Liriano as well.
Yeah, 3-6, two singles, and a home run.
Yeah.
So, and but he does have two strikeouts. But he has an average exit velocity of 95.8.
Sheesh.
So that's pretty decent. So I don't have a problem playing some Orioles here, but I'm not gung-ho about them. Now, let's talk about Trey Mancini.
Sure.
Trey Mancini is somebody that I am very, very, very worried about.
And the DFSA, and the DFSA grade is not.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to find his sample size. The reason is because he has 19 total plate appearances that go into that DFSA grade. So make sure that you are very, very, very cautious with Trey Mancini. Is he too cheap? Yes. Does he have good numbers so far against left-handed pitching? Yes. Phenomenally. Fantastic. Awesome. But we don't know who this kid is yet. So be very careful. Be very, very, very careful.
Very, very sneaky. Yes, I agree with Trey Mancini. I mean, you know, we've seen some of these numbers that the that the DFSA grade has been spitting out the last couple of days. They've been outrageous. You know, everybody's like, what's up with this Trey Mancini guy? You know, and yeah, he hit lefties well in a small sample size, and it's just hysterical that he did it yesterday against a righty. So very, very fun. All right, let's get to our next game of the day. This is a very interesting one to me. We've got the Milwaukee Brewers at those 7-2 Cincinnati Reds. Jimmy Nelson, the righty, goes for the Brewers, and we've got the righty Bronson Arroyo back in our lives once again, going for the Reds. All right, so let's talk about Nelson. Amazing debut to 2017 against the Cubs, who he's done very well against in his whole career. Surprised, I don't know how that happens. Six innings, he gives up 4 hits, 2 walks, one earned run, has 8 strikeouts and 93 pitches against these Cubs, gets a no decision in that mix. So he's got these great numbers against the Cubs, but you take a look and then he's got shitty numbers against the Reds. 3-3 with a 5.16 ERA in his last 10 appearances against them. He's given up 8 homers and 52 in the third innings. Has a whip of 134 in that same span. Opposing average of 288. Things have not gotten any better for him at Great American Ballpark. He's 2-2 there with a 7.20 ERA in his last 5 starts. Now, if you look at his last 5 starts here, he's only pitched 25 innings in total. So he's only going 5 innings in each start. Not a great barometer there. We got a 1.92 whip in that same span here at Great American Ballpark. Just absolutely terrible numbers going into this one. An opposing batting average of 336 as well. Then we go to the other side against Bronson Arroyo, and he hasn't been that great either. You know, again, he missed the last 2 seasons. He just came back. His first start of 2017 was against the Cardinals. They got to him pretty quick. But the one noticeable difference here against Bronson Arroyo, and it's a pretty tricky one here too. So right-handed batters have just been absolutely crushing him. Did you know in his last full season, and the numbers kind of add up here from his last start here in 2017, which we'll get to. So in 2014, right-handed bats hit for a 331 average against Arroyo. Left-handed batters hit for 233. That's a 98-point difference there going there for reverse splits, which is kind of interesting. And it makes sense if you look at his first start of 2017. Right-handed bats from the Cardinals were 5-for-9. They had 2 doubles, 2 home runs. They even scored 6 runs in that span. Left-handed bats, though, 1-for-8. They only had 2 walks in that one as well. The funny thing about that, though, is Ryan Braun is really the only Brewers player that has any BVP, any meaningful BVP against Bronson Arroyo. And he hasn't even done that well against Arroyo. He has a 235 average against Arroyo in 17 career at-bats. Does have a home run, but if I'm looking at Brewers bats tonight, got to go right-handed. And then, you know, it's tough to, you know, give Jimmy Nelson the poo-poo finger here, but I mean, his history against the Reds speaks for itself.
Yeah, I didn't want to see these numbers, but I couldn't. You can't ignore them.
Yeah.
But I mean.
I mean
the Reds are about as hot a team in baseball right now, so. Yeah, I'm just going to go with BVP because guess
how about BVT?
How about Miguel Cabrera BVP?
Yeah, did that happen?
Yes, already? It did. Yes, it did. Yeah,
of course. Probably 98% owned.
He is 43% owned.
I was close.
Yes.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside. So, yeah. But, you know, it doesn't mean anything. So, nerds.
Hey, we're nerds, too. Hey, I want to bring up another stat here, too, that might put some lean on a particular player for you. So Billy Hamilton, 6-for-20 against Jimmy Nelson. But the interesting part about that, Jimmy Nelson has allowed stolen base, I guess, joinists over the last three seasons. In 74 attempts, 61 of them have been safe. So that right there alone just puts me on Billy Hamilton. The fact that he's got a good career against him works even more. Even in that 6-for-20, he's got four walks against him. So basically, get on base against Nelson and you're advancing.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I hate just like kind of targeting stolen bases, but when you do it with a guy like Jose Peraza and Billy Hamilton.
Yeah.
Because I honestly think once these guys both start getting on base at a better clip, and we've been saying this about Billy Hamilton for years, but if Jose Peraza could do it, I literally think that they're going to, you know, go back and forth against each other, see who can steal the most bases. Now, with that said, that doesn't always...
That is scary.
That doesn't always turn into, you know, good baseball, but it turns into great fantasy baseball.
And how funny is it, too, with the Reds, right? You got Joey Votto, you got Adam Duvall, who can clobber you over the head with their power, but... It's real. I mean, Billy Hamilton's had a great start to the season. Peraza as well. You got all these different guys that, you know, and, you know, I think the Phillies are trying to do this sort of thing, not necessarily succeeding on it, but they're not going to slug you to death. They're just going to run all over you. And the Brewers had success with that a lot last season.
Yeah, they did.
Especially against the Cubs.
Oh, how good – I've got to see – I don't have the numbers right in front of me, and I don't know where to really find them.
I may. Let's talk about it.
How good is Jet Bandy at throwing runners out?
Ooh, that – see, you went above my pay grade there.
See, I knew I would. Because I like Jet Bandy as a, you know, a catcher. He's pretty – if I can remember correctly, he's better at, you know, framing, you know, stuff like that. But, my goodness gracious. I'm really trying to find this out, and it's not.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about something more important, then I'll chime in with some uh-huhs, uh-huh, uh-huh.
I just don't know where to find out, like, you know, a caught stealing percentage for catchers. Caught stealing. I guess we could just Google it. Percentage.
Yeah, by the way, if any of our listeners out there, if you know the answers to these questions, make sure you tweet us. I'm at 14A.Walsh. Keith over there at Boomers DFS Daddy.
Yes. Okay. So I should have just gone to the all important baseball reference.
ESPN.com.
yeah, we could have gone to that too. So let's see, and that's just going to give me yearly. Anyways, I don't know if Jet Bandy's a guy I want to pick on yet or not. He could be, but he could not be as well. So. I do know that I like picking on Jimmy Nelson, so I know a lot of times you can steal bases on pitchers and not just the catchers, but a competent catcher will slow down the running game a little bit. So
yeah, see, I like Jimmy Nelson. I think he's a great pitcher, but these numbers. Well, I shouldn't say great.
Every pitcher has their weakness.
Yeah, I'm being quite generous there, but again, these numbers against the Reds are just so difficult to ignore. The fact that this has been a complete thing, that this has been a consistent thing, that is incredibly troubling. And look, I mean, how can you hate the Reds at this point? I mean, you know, when you look at the top of the leaderboards the last couple of days, there's a red stack up there. You know, you got Eugenio Suarez, even Joey Votto, Adam Duvall, you know, guys like that are just even a Billy Hamilton who really hasn't. you know, truly broken out yet. You know, guys like that are at the top of the leaderboards the last couple of days, and whether that's, you know, the Reds popping off at a low ownership, or, you know, kind of the inability of these other teams at a high ownership percentage, the Reds have been the constant here over the last couple of days. Their 7-2 record is no mistake, folks. They are playing some very good baseball right now. So that coupled with the fact of their great history against Nelson kind of makes them a no-brainer tonight.
Yeah, it kind of does. If we go back to last season, caught stealing percentage, Tucker Barnhart is in that at 33%. You know, but we don't have to worry about the Milwaukee Brewers. So Jet Bandy's not in there, but probably because he didn't play a lot last year, because I believe he was with the Angels.
Yes.
So
not a bad bat either.
No, not a bad bat at all. Let's see here. Jet Bandy has three attempts, one caught stealing against him so far this year. So guys aren't really running against him. But something to keep in mind is Jet Bandy does have a catcher's ERA of 5.12.
Ouch! Ouch!
So that's something, and you compare that to Tucker Barnhart's 2.72. That's something to kind of pay attention to.
All right, let's get to our next game on the docket. We got the New York Mets. We got the
Miami Marlins. Did you talk about Ryan Braun and Kirk Nieuwenhuis?
Talked about Ryan Braun a little bit. Not the greatest numbers there against Bronson Arroyo, but...
Really? .283 average with 4 home runs and 7 extra base hits?
Whoa. I do not have those same numbers. I got... Those must be playoff numbers, because I've got...
That's coming off of Baseball Savant.
Yeah, they do. They include playoff numbers. I was just going off ESPN, but they have...
I want all the at-bats, brother. Spring training.
As do I, but, you know, I have my issues with baseball. I like their site as a whole, but I've got my issues with them. Sometimes they don't even have the right players on the right roster, so that's one thing.
I know what you're talking about.
Have they made upgrades?
Yes.
Have they made upgrades?
They did. Okay. They did update it.
Okay. Hey, it's early in the season. I can switch my loyalties real quick, you know? Yep.
So...
Okay, so yeah, he must have done that pretty well in the postseason against him, because the regular season numbers, he's only hitting .235 against Arroyo, only has one homer. That's in 17 at-bats. So you're telling me
he has 3 homers against him in the playoffs?
That would have to be correct. It must have been a hell of a day.
Or a hell of a series.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I'm thinking, because Arroyo pitched for the Red Sox for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, but the Brewers wouldn't have played the Red Sox.
No shit, but
it was the Reds. Oh my gosh.
You have to go into the Bronson Arroyo Angels.
Baseball reference. Let's see here. Wow, he's 17 years. We've missed some guys. Pittsburgh Pirates for 2 years, Red Sox, Reds, Diamondbacks.
A lot of Reds. Yeah, that's awkward. That is awkward.
But he's been with the Reds ever since Braun's come into the National League, because Braun was the 2007 Rookie of the Year.
Huh. I kind of dissed ESPN here for a sec, but I am looking. MLB.com is where I got the 17 at bats for Braun, the .235 average against Arroyo. So you know what's interesting? If you click on Bronson Arroyo's BDP on ESPN.com, they don't even have it. They redirect you to like a whole different page. So. That's interesting as well.
Yep. So that's fun.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're all getting all sorts of dysfunctional here, but let's go New York Mets at the Miami Marlins. Robert Gsellman, That's not how his name looks, but it is pronounced that way, folks. I promise you. He is going up against Wei-Yin Chen of the Miami Marlins. He's a lefty. We take a look at Robert Gsellman here. Okay, he took the loss against these same Marlins on Saturday. Goes five innings. It was encouraging that he had seven strikeouts against him, 91 pitches in that. A little bit of bad luck there, but you know, I'm not gonna expect too many innings out of Gsellman. We're probably gonna see the bullpen probably take four, possibly more innings in this one. If we look at Wei-Yin Chen here, I do like this guy as an actual pitcher, but the Achilles heel of him, he just gives up the long ball. And that doesn't work too well against the Mets, who actually have the most long balls in the majors this season with 15. However, you take a look at those 15 runs, they did take on my Philadelphia Phillies for three games this season, and most of their homers came on, what was that, Tuesday night?
Yeah. Yes.
All the ass kickings are starting to form into one now, into one massive headache. Let's talk about the pitchers here first. Any interest in either guy?
Yeah, I have a little bit of interest in Gsellman. Mainly because if I'm going to attack this, now with that said, that doesn't mean that I'm all that confident in it because, you know, out of the starting pitchers that are left in the starting pitcher hub, if we just go by what it says, he's actually got a better grade than Madison Bumgarner. However, he's only pitched 46 innings in the big leagues. So there is a huge difference in a sample size that you have to take into account with that. But I mean, the Marlins, they don't hit a lot of their home runs versus left-hand or right-handed pitching. Sure, you've got Christian Yelich, you've got Justin Bour, who's yet to get off the schneid tonight. Or
separate and release, my friend.
No kidding. But
As I told you the other day, he's going to make a hell of a softball player one day.
Yeah, no kidding. But I mean, come on, you're telling me that he can't strike out Giancarlo Stanton four times tonight? I'm sorry, he can. You're telling me that Marcelo Zuna has better luck versus right-handed pitching than left-handed
Oppo
pitching?
Oppo dong last night.
Ozuna?
Yep.
Or
was that Tuesday?
I thought that was Tuesday.
Yeah, I think it was. Again, the night's all running into one.
Because Tuesday was when Major League Baseball decided to play Home
right.
Run Derby.
You're right.
So, So I have a little bit of interest here, especially with the, you know, the ballpark shift going from Philly to not from New York, going from Philly to, Miami.
New York South, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Hate them all.
You know, there's the Marlins lineup has a projected wOBA of 300 Here, let's do this correctly without the pitcher.
You, Keith, get it right for the people. Come on.
Of 334. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay. I forgive you. I'm sure the listeners will.
You know, only an ISO of 160. So if he can keep the ball in the yard, then you know that's not a bad. It's not a bad little option. Now the problem is that. You know, you have to think about roster construction and do you really need to go there? And yeah. I'm not sure if you do today. I like him as a pitcher. I think we're going to be able to use him at times throughout the course of the season. I don't think tonight is the night to do it, though.
Yeah, I agree. I don't mind Chen really as a GPP kind of play here. Again, you mentioned it. There's a huge park downgrade going for these Mets up against Chen. The only issue here that I have with that is that the Mets are going to stack righties up against Wei-Yin Chen. Every single team does. I mean, he's a significant homer gopher that we got here. So you're going to see guys like Wilmer Flores, you know, Travis d'Arnaud, even as Drubal Cabrera from the right side. Drubal Cabrera has actually been very hot recently. So not great numbers against Chen, but again, I like the way that he's hitting lately, so he's certainly an option. Rene Rivera, too, by the way, against Chen, 4-for-10 with two doubles in his career. So, I do see an angel and a devil on both shoulders in this one, but it's interesting for the Marlins offense because again we're talking about maybe going at Gazelman. He did have 7 strikeouts against these Marlins hitters, but if we're going to take a look at him, I don't mind going with right-handed bats. If we're looking so far early this season, you know, as I said, this would be a reverse splits kind of day that we're going to have for a lot of these pitchers. So right-handed bats against Gazelman so far this season, 7-for-14, 2 doubles, they got a triple, a homer, only 1 strikeout. Left-handed batters, however, against Gazelman this year, 1-for-11, but 7 strikeouts. Very interesting to note. And then, you know, this is more than just a trend. Last season, Gazelman, right-handed hitters hit for 51 points higher from the right-hand side of the plate. I mean, the OBP, the slugging, the OPS, all those kind of numbers were up against Gazelman as well. So might not be a bad idea to go, you know, with the potential, Real Muto, Stanton, Ozuna, guys like that. Maybe even a Hechavarria. I just wanted to say his name. It's so
no,
fun.
He's on the DL.
Ah, that son of a bitch. All right, so maybe not him.
It'd probably be Miguel Rojas.
Okay. Damn it.
See, yeah, I'm not playing Stanton.
Okay. Well, the two dong last night, you're trying to avoid the ownership.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I called the full Stanton fade before yesterday. The reason? Because he cannot hit. All he does is hit the ball over. Oh my gosh. He drives me nuts. He steps in the bucket more than my little sister does.
What's your little sister's issue with stepping in the bucket?
The fact that she hasn't swung a bat since she was 6?
You got to get her in the batting cages.
Why? It's going to be no benefit to the rest of us.
Just saying. I mean, if we're going to run her out there on a 4-game slate, you might want to get her in the cages, you know?
She's one of those guys that she's so short, she's going
to
take four walks.
Take her to the go-kart first, you know? Do something. I mean, get her going with the sticks. You got to.
I can't. She's pregnant.
Ah, oh, Jesus. That's kind of hard to swing a bat like that.
Yes.
Anyways,
if you look at Stanton, even his home runs last night, they did not look pretty. Like, his swing is so awkward. It's all arms and all upper body. I talked about this yesterday, and so I'm not going to bore everybody with it. But he does not have what I would call a major league quality power swing. Yes. It's just bad. Just go look at it. Just go watch it and tell me if that looks as sweet as guys like Miguel Cabrera, guys like Ken Griffey Jr., guys like that. So,
by the way, Ken Griffey Jr., one of the sweetest swings in the game. But, yeah, I know you're absolutely right. And the thing that makes that Stanton thing frustrating is that I had him on Tuesday. And then he does the double dong the night after. So, thank you. Thank you, Stanton. Thank you very much. All right. All those numbers there for you in that game. Well, we got 2 more games left to talk about. Let's go to KC, where we got the Oakland A's. Jesse Hahn, the righty, going for them up against Jason Vargas of the Royals. He is a lefty in that one. I have no particular interest in either pitcher in this one, but the ballpark does, you know, play a little more to their benefit. Jesse Hahn in his 2017 debut does get the no decision there at Texas. He goes 6 innings, 7 hits, gets a walk, 3 strikeouts, 2 earned runs, 78 pitches up against the Rangers. Vargas had a very good opening start to 2017. He was at the Astros in that one. He goes 6 innings, gives up 6 hits, a walk, 1 earned run, and 6 strikeouts in 93 pitches in that one. Severe splits here for Mr. Vargas in night games from the last 3 seasons, 14-6 with a 3.54 ERA. Day games, 2-6 with a 4.07 ERA. Might not be a bad idea to start him, but, I mean, what's really the upside, right?
There is none, considering the fact that he's facing Marcus Semien, Ryan Healy, and Chris Davis.
Yeah.
You can even add Trevor Plouffe into that mix.
Keith, you know I'm guilty of this. I try to make the podcast more exciting than it actually is a lot. So
no, that's fine. But let me help make you exciting by allowing people to win money. I called it last night. I'm calling it again. Simeon, Healy, Davis, stack them up.
Do it, folks. The guy knows what he's talking about. He's been in Miami before.
That ballpark is absolutely kind of crazy too. I'm not saying that they're going to beat the Royals again, but if I'm going to attack the Royals in Kansas City, I'm going to do it with these guys. You can throw Jed Lowry in there if you want to. He's got a 364 career average against Jason Vargas. I would probably stay away from Trevor Plouffe just because he's 5-for-33 against him.
Yep. Terrible, baby.
Yeah, but you know, it's not something that I'm really kind of avoiding. I'm not playing the pitchers, but I'm not avoiding the hitters really either. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not exactly the hitter's haven that we're looking for here on the slate, but again, on a 6-game slate, you're kind of, you know, trying to be somewhat, mindful of what's going on here. Chris Davis is a guy that, you know, we kind of skipped over when talking about all these A's.
No, we didn't. I said him. I said him three times. I said Simeon, Healy, Davis.
Okay. Maybe I thought you were going Rajay. Okay.
Sorry. I forgot we got
two Davises.
Yeah, I forgot we had two Davises.
I don't know why. I should basically just play Chris David, because every time I've rostered him this season, he's homered. So that's just bad on my fault, or bad on my part on the days.
Yeah, why
that
don't you go ahead and roster him tonight so he can hit another home run?
Folks, breaking news, everyone. I will roster Chris Davis, so you should all do the same and have a homer in your line.
There you go.
Yeah, why not, right? Why not? All right, these numbers for Vargas, pretty good here. I know we talked a little bit about that, but let's talk about these splits that we got going on here for Jesse Hahn. From 2014 to 2016, left-handed bats hit for 70 points higher. All the slash categories are significantly higher for them. So if we're looking at lefties, Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer, guys like that for the Royals are probably going to be the ones that we know. Not a lot of stock to put into BVP, but Alex Gordon, who is also a lefty, he's 3-for-4 with a home run against Jesse Hahn as well. So we've got that to talk about.
Yeah, I don't mind it. If you can get a guy instead of going like an Eric Hosmer, if you want to be a little bit different on FanDuel, you can go with a guy like Brandon Moss if he's in the lineup.
I like Brandon Moss.
And DraftKings, I would play them both, Hosmer and Moss, because Moss is outfield eligible. But you can go Gordon, Moustakas, Hosmer, Salvi, and Moss, and that would be a fantastic stack on DraftKings.
Yes, indeed. Now, I am not advocating that anybody plays Jesse Hahn by any stretch of the imagination, but what is up with this Royals offense? They are shitty. They are so shitty.
I don't know, but they better get it turned around if they want to actually keep this team together, because if not, they're going to start fire-selling these guys.
Ooh, hot take. Yeah, that is true.
That's not a hot take. They're just all up for they're not going to be able to re-sign everybody.
No, I guess, and you know, this is a Royals team that is what, two years removed from that World Series. Actually two World Series runs there in the 3 years. They are 2-6 right now.
The 95 Reds started out 1-8.
Wow.
And then won the World Series.
The 95 Reds?
Or 93. 94, no, something not, like
I
that.
I think like you're a couple years off there, bro.
I don't know. It was,
don't even talk to me about 93, because that was the Joe Carter, Mitch Williams
song. Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I heard it
of my Philly fan.
I heard it on Fantasy Sports Radio on Sirius XM. Jim Bowden was like, my 1990 whatever – you know, World Series championship or won the division or whatever. So, it was.
Most of those guys were probably sucking on a breast pump at that time. So I don't know how relevant those stats are, but I don't know. This Royals team is just shitting the bed off.
Oh, no. He said, I'm sorry. He said they won the division.
Ah, okay. Okay. All right. By the way, did you know that this is completely irrelevant to Daily Fantasy Sports, but I was at the final game of the 94 season when they had the lockout going on.
Really?
Yeah.
I would be a scab.
Absolutely. It was the Seattle Mariners at the Oakland A's. I was actually on vacation in California with my family, and Randy Johnson pitched a complete game shutout, and Ken Griffey Jr. hit a grand slam. I still have the ticket stub, by the way. An amazing. It was, and by the way, it was the final game of 1994. Like that was
the death of Montreal Expos baseball.
Indeed. Ah, that's unfortunate.
They were the best team in the world that year.
They were.
I mean, Pedro, Larry Walker, they were stacked. So
I mean, even more importantly for me, the Phillies didn't.
All right, we're delaying it. Let's get to it. You know what I'm waiting for.
The Phillies didn't even get a chance to defend their NL crown from 93. But
sure they did. They had 1995.
Well, that wasn't really a season.
That was the first. Yeah, it was. It was the first year that the Colorado Rockies made the playoffs.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And they opened up. They did. They won the wild card. That was the first year of Coors Field. Oh, my God. Robbie Grossman.
What did he do? He got yaya?
Oh, he just went yaya.
Yep, BVP back at it again, my friend.
Jesus Christ.
All right. The BVP gets early. All right. Let's talk about this last game of the night. We've got Keith's Colorado Rockies, who are throwing his best friend in the world, John Gray, up against Madison Bumgarner, the savvy southpaw in this one. All right, so John Gray had a pretty solid outing in his last one, but the strikeouts weren't there. We'll alleviate that one for him. Kind of had that blow up in the opener there against Milwaukee. But we're going up against Madison Bumgarner here, and he doesn't have a win yet on this season, but the encouraging part does have 16 strikeouts in 15 innings pitched. Did go 88 and 114 innings in each of his two starts in this one. Mad Bum probably going to be the chalk pitcher of the night. So as a Rockies savant, what's our risk going with Bumgarner tonight?
Your risk is ultra high.
Ooh.
You want to know the reason?
I do.
9 for 18, 5 bombs.
Wait, that is Carlos Gonzalez?
Yep. You can add 4 doubles to that. Now, there are 16 strikeouts, but that's not a small sample size. Hold on.
Wait. You said 9 for 18. I got 18 for 56.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at singles.
But by the way, that would be impressive, though, right?
So, hey, 18 for 56 is still good.
But I was going to say, if you said 9 for 18 with 16 strikeouts, that is still impressive, right? Because he still got hits in half of those at-bats.
No kidding. 18 for 56 with 16 strikeouts, okay? But it's got him for 5 bombs, 4 doubles, okay?
Hey, they don't pay strikeouts. It's the homers, my friends.
Exactly. Nolan Arenado does have 2 bombs off of him, but they're not great. But his average isn't great. He's only got 3 hits, but or 4, 7 hits. But, you know, 2 of them are home runs, 2 of them are doubles, so he does kind of hit them pretty hard. Mark Reynolds, 4 for 12. That's a .333 average with a home run. Charlie Blackmon, 6 for 15. That's a .400 average. Let's see here. We're going to see how much Buddy Black actually plays into this, because if he's smart, he would start Christian Adamas over Trevor Story tonight, considering Adamas is 4 for 6. With 3 home runs and a triple off of them. Look, I'm not saying that the Rockies are going to go out there and mash them all over the field. But I'm going to have a couple teams where I have some one-offs of cargo, and then I'll have a couple teams where I have a one-off of Nolan, and then a couple teams where I have Nolan and cargo, and then a couple teams where I'll have Nolan, cargo, Arenado, and Blackman stacked with Mark Reynolds in there. So if Mad Bum does go off or does get blown up, then I can have every kind of base covered with the more likely scenarios to do it. If you had to put a gun to my head, I'd probably not. If I was making one lineup, it would not be with Madison Bumgarner, because my goal with one lineup is to win. And if I'm going to win, I'm not going to win with Madison Bumgarner. I'm probably going to go with Cargo and John Gray on my main team, because the numbers that the current Giants have against John Gray are not very good, other than Connor Gillespie.
I gotcha. We're going to see Bumgarner, though, who I feel going to be a lot better of a pitcher here at home. We know AT&T Park is, a pitcher's haven for all people involved. The one thing I think you can find solace in is the fact that these Rockies are struggling a lot at the plate right now.
And it's baseball.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the way that, and this is what I was talking about in Slack. If you're going game theory, okay, everybody is like, the Rockies are going to be under 3% owned. One, because Bumgarner is going to be the chalk, and everybody just saw them struggle mightily against no-name pitchers in Coors Field. Okay.
Well, let's not just take that. They've had a couple sluggish performances here out of the gate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We just played six games at home.
They've had a couple sluggish starts here.
That's what I'm saying. We just played six games at home, and we didn't score more than 5 runs in any of them. we scored more runs in Milwaukee than we did at home. So that's what I'm saying. And they weren't against the greatest pitchers in the world.
They love the cheese curds.
And now we're going up against one of the greatest pitchers in the National League. And, so everybody's going to be picking on him. Well, so that's going to drive his ownership percentage up. But let's think about this for a second. Okay.
Sure. We always do this, right? With the chalk pitcher of the night, the guy who's in the best position. We try to dissect where he could go wrong.
Yeah, not only that, but if there's even a glimmer of hope, then in baseball you can take it. Because doesn't it just make sense the way that the season's gone so far? And we talked about this a little bit earlier.
Oh yeah, there's no sure thing here.
They barely score any runs in Denver, and now they go up against the second best pitcher in the NL West.
So you're calling double digits tonight?
They go and put 13 runs up.
Nah, oh God, I hope that doesn't happen. But They've
put 13 runs up in an inning in San Francisco before.
They have.
But, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen. And what are the likelihoods of it happening? 5, 10%? Okay, fine. But guess what? It can happen. And the way that this season in particular has gone so far, I would give it maybe a couple more percentage points a little bit higher. Am I going to be shocked if Madison Bumgarner goes out there, throws 7 innings, strikes out 9, and allows 1 or 2 runs? No, absolutely not. I am not going to be shocked at all. But if there was a person to attack Madison Bumgarner with, one person, not named Kiki Hernandez, I think it's Carlos Gonzalez.
Ugh, so risky with the platoon. With the lefty-lefty there.
He's hitting 321 over 56 at bats with 5 home runs.
I get it. I know the numbers are there. It's just so risky.
Screw the platoon.
Fair. Fair point. I will caution you, though. Mad Bum over the last 3 seasons. We're talking 2014, 2016. does have 366 strikeouts and 333 innings. That is there.
I'm not saying that we're not going to strike out.
And I know you've certainly established the fact that the Rockies can certainly do something. And it is worth mentioning, right? Because I feel like, I mentioned Luis Severino earlier in the program. I think he's got a great opportunity here with Austin Romine behind the plate. I think that adds
Go ahead,
I think that adds a lot of points to his overall outlook, okay? Like, when we talk about Luis Severino, we're probably looking at, 22, 23 if we're lucky. But with Romine, I think he becomes kind of a 30, 33-point pitcher. Significantly cheaper than Madison Bumgarner today. So you're certainly taking that chance if you want to go with him over Mad Bum. But I think a lot more people are going to opt for the assuredness that Mad Bum appears to have in this one.
That's fine. And just like I've said, this is baseball. And if Mad Bum falters tonight, then
Mad
we're going
gum,
to
I like that
Mad
one.
Gum.
Mad, he's got Mad Gum.
Yeah,
bro.
If Mad Bum falters tonight, then we're going to Sizzler tomorrow on me.
That is true. That is true. See, that's the benefit that you have as a Rockies fan, right? Like, I have no when I did my old radio show back in Bayonne, New Jersey, I misspoke on the show. I said I've got no dog in the horse, and I meant to say I have no horse in the race. Don't
or dog in the fight.
Don't ask me how I got those two mixed up. I said I got no dog in the horse. So if I mention that from now on, that'll be the basis. But again, I have no dog in the horse here, and it's tempting to just go easily with Mad Bum, but you're absolutely right. I mean, with how this major league season has gone so far, it really, really would not be a crazy idea to have maybe not a Rocky stack, but maybe not as much.
If you're making multiple lineups, all I'm saying is this. If you're making multiple lineups, don't just dismiss them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because the goal is to get to the top. And what's the quickest way to the top? Low ownership players.
I was going to say sex, but yeah, that does too.
And I'm done.
Sex? Yes, please. Yes, that'll do it. No, go ahead. Finish. Don't let my...
I forgot what I was saying.
Don't let my childish antics deter you.
I forgot what I was saying.
What's the quickest way to get that? I wish I had that on a cue there. Maybe sex? Yes, please. All right, that'll probably do it for us tonight. Any words in conclusion with everything we talked about today? Only a 6-game slate for tonight, but a lot of interesting things that we talked about today.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I think we got some game theory in there. I think we got some good statistics in there. Some statistics that we could probably use a little bit more going forward as well with that catcher's ERA.
Indeed. All right. Any Don calls for the evening?
Carlos Gonzalez. And we can say that. We can say that because they're not in Coors Field.
All right. You go Carlos Gonzalez. I'm also going to go anti-platoon here, but, Bronson Arroyo is pretty much a softball pitcher. I'm going to go Ryan Braun. He doesn't have the great regular season numbers against Bronson Arroyo, but I think he gets him here tonight.
Hey, playoffs matter, brother.
Yeah, no shit they do. They're pretty damn important. All right, listen, if you're not a member with us yet, make sure you do so. Make sure you make that a thing of the past. Go to dfsarmy.com. Use the promo code OPENINGDAY. It's going to get you 7 free days to see what we're all about. In addition to getting 7 free days to the DFSArmy.com, you're going to get access to our domination station. Now, you're not going to get much use out of it for the next 3 days out of the NBA season, but for Saturday, my God, folks, it's go time. We've been talking about NBA playoffs for a while now. Me and Keith have been kind of sitting on the sidelines, if you will, in this NBA season here coming down the stretch. But this is our bread and butter here. We're looking very forward to the playoffs here. we know that our analysis does a lot of good things, but the Domination Station does a lot better. We just had a new member, Adam Wagner of the WagnerWire.com. Great site. If you're not familiar with it, go to it. But he just signed up. He started using the Domination Station. He's amazed by it. His eyes have become bowling balls all of a sudden because of this Domination Station. So if he likes it, then my God, folks, you guys are going to love it. A lot of great stuff going on there. We got a golf tournament going on this weekend. You can use the Domination Station for that. You're going to get all sorts of behind-the-scenes coverage that we get for our MLB viewers as well, with the lineups page that Keith does and the analytics corner that me and Burns do a tag team job on. Boom, boom. All that stuff is phenomenal, but you only get access to that if you're a member with us. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code opening day. And that'll do it for us on today's show. Great opening, not even an opening day, but a great six-game breakdown. For
as Andrew McCutchen just lifts and separates.
Yes. About time. About time, my friend.
Screw right. him.
That'll do it for me, Keith. So, as always, we gone. We'll see you on Friday. Peace.
Peace out.